This is Harry Murray at Murray's Fly Shop in Edinburgh, Virginia. Today we're going to talk about winterizing tackle, cleaning the tackle up so it's in good shape when we're ready to go next spring, get it so it'll work better, last longer, that type thing. First thing I want to talk about are rods. Now these are basically things I do with mine, and you just pick and choose and use what works for you. First thing I do when I'm taking care of my rods for the winter is I scrub the cork grip down real good with a toothbrush and dish detergent. I also scrub the rod shaft itself, and I scrub especially good around the guides where they pick up all kind of junk and little tiny debris that'll goof up the works. I scrub it down real good with a toothbrush, then I rinse it real thoroughly to get all of that detergent off of there. And then I set it over in the corner to dry for about, and since I'm not using it in the winter, I let it dry about a week. Now, if you want to, and you're going to be using this in the winter, you know, the ice can form around your guides and just kill you as far as shooting fly lines. What I do with mine, I use Scientific Angler's line dressing, put it on a little paper towel, and I scrub down the whole rod shaft, especially very good around the guides, with that, and then I come back with another paper towel and wipe that down real thoroughly after the rod is dried and everything. And that helps it shoot better, and it prevents ice from forming around the guides up to a certain point. Now, if I'm using a rod that has a claw sack, and most of mine do, I wash the claw sack in the washing machine and then dry it in the hot dryer. That'll kill any mildew, anything growing on your rod sack. It smells terrible. The hot dryer will zap that. Now, on reels, I take the spool out, and I clean the back of the reel real good with a Q-tip with some kind of cleaning fluid to get all the dirt and grime and all the oil, old oil and that kind of stuff out real good. I clean the back of the spool, clean the back of the reel real thoroughly in that way, and then wipe it down with a soft cloth. Now, depending on your manufacturer's directions, you may or may not want to apply oil or silicone to the running parts. Some of the manufacturers say do not put silicone on their drag system. I had a friend that had his turn into jello on him last year in Montana and just kind of killed the reel. So be sure you go by the manufacturer's directions. On all of my reels except those reels, I put a light coat of oil on the back of the reel and then a light coat on the shaft, and then I replace the backing on there, and then I put the line back on. But that'll enable the reel to function real well. Now, on my fly lines, I'm pretty particular with all my fly lines. I've got a five-step program I use on my fly lines. I've got a nail on one side of my basement, a nail on the other side, and I stretch my fly line across there. The first thing I do is wash that down real thoroughly with a paper towel with, I usually use a solution of Ivory Cake soap or something like that because it works so well. So I'll scrub it down real good with a wet paper towel with Ivory soap on it. Then I get another paper towel and I go back and rinse all of that soap off of it. Then I dry the line thoroughly and just wipe it down so it's just completely dry, and at this stage it's also, of course, clean. I put probably Glide line dressing on a paper towel and then wipe that down real good. Now, what you've got to remember, though, that sounds great and you could stop there. However, any line dressing that builds up on the line can attract dirt. So what you're going to do then, after you completely coat that with the Glide line dressing, is going back with another clean paper towel and wipe it down thoroughly. It sounds like you're undoing what you just did, but actually the dressing that gets down in the pores of the line does the job. So you're going to wash it, you're going to rinse it, you're going to dry it, you're going to dress it, and then you're going to wipe it down. So those five steps will enable your line to function real well, float real well, and shoot extremely well. Now, on my vest, I wash my vest in either Revive X-Wash or Ivory Powder. Ivory Powder is excellent. The Revive X-Wash is very good. I wash it in the washing machine with that on the gentle cycle and then run it through an extra rinse just to get all that soap off there, and I line dry mine. I have plenty of time through the winter. They can sit on the line and dry out. But I find that really cleans the vest up quite a bit. On the raincoats, now here's one place you definitely want to follow the manufacturer's direction. What I do on my Gore-Tex breathable waterproof raincoats, my directions say wash it in the washing machine on a gentle cycle using Revive-X Wash. Before I started using Revive-X Wash, I used the old ivory cake. I mean, not the ivory cake, but the ivory powder. I wash that real good in the washing machine on the gentle cycle. Then I run it through another rinse to get all that soap off there, because actually any soap left on there will defeat you. I spray my raincoat with the Revive-X spray, and then I put it in the dryer and run it for 1 hour on a medium heat setting. Wash it, rinse it, spray it with the Revive-X spray, put it in the dryer for 1 hour, and then hang it on the line, and it's good to go. That should last you about a year unless you do something wild to it. Now, hats and caps, I usually treat these with some kind of waterproofing spray, such as Tektron or something like that. But before I do it, I'll just get a paper towel or a cloth and scrub them down pretty good with ivory powder to get that out. And then I rinse it real good and put some kind of waterproofing spray on there, such as Revive-X has, or the Tektron durable water repellent. Chest and hip pack. There again, go by your manufacturer's direction, but what I've done on mine many times, I'm pretty hard on my chest packs. So mine get grubby, to say the least. I wash mine in the washing machine on a gentle soak cycle with ivory powder, and the ivory powder penetrates back in there. I wash them on a gentle cycle. I use cold water. I don't know why. I just have always been in the habit of doing that. And wash them on a gentle cycle. Then I rinse them on an extra cycle, and then I hang them on the line to dry. And that will, unless you do some bad stuff to it, that should be good for a year. Waders. Now that we're all using Gore-Tex waders, you want to take care of those. You can wash them in the bathtub using Revive-X Wash or ivory powder, and wash them real good to get all the grubby, slimy junk off of them, and then line dry those. Might take best part of a week, but since I'm not using them in the winter, it doesn't make any difference. On my rubber hip boots that I use in many of the mountain streams, I just scrub those down with a damp cloth to get the mud and slime off of them, and hang those up to dry out, and then I'm good. Landing nets, wash those. Wash the sack on it. The wood doesn't make that much difference. You can wipe that off and clean that up. But wash the landing net pretty good with dish detergent. Rinse it real good, because that can... I had a friend out west that we used to leave a lot of our gear out there. The boy put his landing net away one day after using it, and we didn't get it out till the next fall when we got out there. And you talk about stink of dead fish. That's what his landing net smelled like. So wash that sack real good. Dish detergent is fine. Then rinse it off and hang it up. The gadgets that you got on your front of your vest, if you're using retractors with cloth cords, you may want to check to see. Mine wear a little bit around each end. What I do is shorten them up and re-knot them and go again. Sometimes your clippers can be get a little dulled out. You can sharpen those. I use the Murray Hook sharpening file to sharpen my clippers. Hemostats may need a drop of oil, something like that. Thermometers, you may want to check and calibrate. My thermometer gets beat up pretty bad. The best way I like to do was what I did back in pharmacy school to calibrate a thermometer. You just stick it in a glass of ice water. If it reads 32, you are in good shape, and if it doesn't, you better get another thermometer. Waiting staff. I use a false half stick for mountain streams and in the rivers. So coat those joints with paraffin, and my false staff stick, I'm sure, is close to 30 years old. Your fly boxes, go through your boxes, grade your flies. First group would be those that are okay and don't need any help. The second group would be those that are over the hill and you got to throw them away. And the third group would be those that may need attention. Now, that attention could be You kind of got mad. You got a draft fly that hackle got matted down and all that. The easy way to bring those things back to life is steam them over a tea kettle. You can either use a tea strainer or a long nose hemostats, whatever you've got handy. But be careful with that steam. That's coming out of there very hot. So steam them, and they'll come back to life pretty well. If you have some that the heads are getting a little shaky, maybe even coming undone, you can always go back and, you know, put another whip coat of 6-0 thread on there, and that isn't going to add too much bulk. Then once you get them all cleaned up, dried out, put them back in the boxes, maybe put some mothballs in there, but you got to be a little bit careful with mothballs because it will eat some of the boxes. So a little bit, and for goodness sake, watch out on mothballs and fly lines. Your fly tying materials, go through it and throw the junk away that you haven't used in 10 years. And then check the other things. I have people come in here whose dad tied flies 20 years ago, and they haven't used it, and they're not going to tie, and they want to give me all the tools and material. Well, of course, the tools are in great shape. But often, moths will get into the fly tying materials. Pretty easy to spot. If you hold a Ziploc bag up with tying materials in it and you set a little eggs in the bottom, throw it away, because a lot of that would spread into your good necks, and you're in trouble. Maps and books and notes and everything from the previous year. For about the last 30, 35 years, I've kept pretty good accurate stream notes. I like to review these and see where I rate them according where the best fishing was, where the worst fishing was, the best time of the year, the best flies, and all that. Not only does this kind of give you a hint as to what to go into for the coming year, but it kind of brings back some good memories about that big fish you caught. Now that you got everything clean and dry and ready to go for the coming year, put it away, dig it out next spring, and you're ready to go. If you have any questions on any of this, ring me at 540-984-4212. That's Harry Murray at Murray's Fly Shop in Edinburgh, Virginia.